Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight. Now we have to tell if it's worth the fight.
Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Weekly Conversation, folks. I'm your host, the man with the mic. We got a wonderful show for you tonight. I'm trying to share something really quickly. Thank you so much for tuning in. I do have there is a PayPal link. You've seen it before if you want to donate. It's the Weekly Conversation. Kyle's Conversation PayPal link. But thank you so much for tuning in. The Kentucky AG Attorney General Daniel Cameron tells Biden, "I'm not in chains. My mind is my own." If you take a look at the Democratic National Convention versus the Republican, there's a lot of people that are working class in the RNC. The RNC has working class people. The DNC has all these celebrities. Hi, I'm Pat Midler, and I'm here. And you should vote for, I'm a billionaire. I mean, you got AOC saying that it's powerful that these NBA players protested. I'm like I started this thing. Let me see here. The NBA, NFL, NHL, and WNBA, why don't they just cancel those leagues completely and do that in protest? And I have so many people like on Breitbart, like, right on, we're backing you, because there's a guy that's like, yeah, why don't they use it in the NFL season? No one watches it anyways. I mean, when you have Rachel Maddow getting higher ratings in Yankees games, that's scary. Yeah, the opening night when the MLB came back, because of Black Lives Matter, she had higher ratings than the Yankees when they came back. But when you have players taking the knee, no one wants to be around that. Joe Biden finally condemns violence in Kenosha, Wisconsin, 3 days after riots. Finally. Well, when he didn't condemn it, in the acceptance speech, Democrats are now like, they're like backpedaling, like, oh. And I'm just waiting for Joe Biden to be someone that's like, I did it. Oh. Like acting like he's all this whole time been in support of these, I don't know, what would you call them? Like, oh, I've condemned it since day one. Yeah. No, their ratings are in the toilet, so they got to do something. And now these Dems are coming out, well, this is Trump's America. Like, they're Trump supporting rioters. If you looked at the photos of the DC Black Lives Matter protesters with the fists, I didn't see a black person. I could have been wrong. There might have been black people in there, but the one photo I saw had all white people with their fists like this. You need to support Black Lives Matter. I'd be like, can I pray for you?
What did
that? I want to get into Bette Midler, Lord help her, Hillary Clinton. Okay, I want to get into stuff she's done. Tons and tons of stuff. Pardon me, hold on. But thank you for tuning into the conversation. I do hope you feel a part of. Let me see here. Okay. Eliminations 3:22-24. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Think about that as you're going through your day to day, and thank you for tuning in. Thank you so much, folks. We got an amazing program tonight. Holy cow. I mean, I love the RNC because it's about America. It's about, hey, I'm a dairy farmer. I was screwed over, and now I'm starting to get back on my feet. It's not billionaire celebs that don't know what we're going through and the struggles. And that's the difference. You have people that have wheelchairs and disabilities and the blind. And like one of the guys, I didn't realize it at first, but he had sunglasses on. And I'm like, what the heck? And when they showed the side view of the guy, this guy from China, he was going back and forth like this with his hand. I'm like, he's reading Braille. And I'm like, wow. How are they going to spin that to be bad?
They're going to spend the guy that's running for office in a wheelchair.
Yeah. It can't be a good thing. But, you know, Daniel Cameron tells Joe Biden, I'm not in chains. My mind is my own. Like when Hillary Clinton basically came out and said that my wife and every other woman that voted for Trump only did that because they were told to by their man. Like my wife makes her own decisions. Trust me. As a married man, your wife's going to make her own decisions. And you got to accept her for who she is. Like, she's got to accept me for who I am. You know, like, when we were getting married, the pastor goes, well, is he a Christian? And my wife's like, I wouldn't marry him if he wasn't. And I'm like, well, we found each other because of God. So, I mean, you know. But it's one of those things that my wife has a mind, and she can think for herself. Then I wouldn't want to be in a marriage. I couldn't imagine if I was telling my wife what to do and how to vote. It wouldn't end well. Trust me. Because I'm not Muslim. I don't sit there and control my wife and own her. She makes up her own mind. And I make up my own mind. Sometimes the decisions are not perfect. We make mistakes. You wonder if Jesus ever fell or anything. You know, I mean, he was a perfect person, only one. Not us. We're not perfect. We're humans. But this notion that black people are oppressed, see, they're getting enslaved in the head. When you realize that more black people, no, actually more white people are killed by cops unarmed than black people, though blacks can commit like three times the crime. Dude, that's Washington Post. Do your research. Don't believe me. When you look at that Kenosha, Wisconsin incident, people are prejudging. Oh, it's a black guy and a cop shot at him, so it has to be, he had to be unarmed. They've never said he was unarmed. If you listen to the police scanner footage, he stole keys. He was a sexual predator, basically. And he had a warrant, and they were serving the warrant on him. And supposedly, if the facts from what that police scanner said, he was going back to his car and was getting a gun. No, not a gun, it was a knife. Whether it's a gun there or not, we don't know, but he went to get a knife. These are just facts. Was it justified what they did? I remember a cop one time showed a video, and a guy had a hoodie, and in the front of the hoodie, you had the thing where you put your hands. And a guy had a gun in there, and when he had his hands in there, the cop was talking to him, and he took the thing and bang, 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 killed the cop. That's why they say get your hands out of your pockets. Get your hands, you know, let me see your hand. Because some police officers have, there's things they do because they've been shot at before, or they don't know what the guy's going for in his pockets. You don't know what's there. Watch Hickok 45. He'll have little, like, 380s in his little pocket. You wouldn't even know they're there. Bang, bang, bang. And, like, in 3 seconds or less, he's got, like, 6 rounds off. And that's what people don't realize. I'm not making judgment. I'm just stating what is on the audio from the police scanner and why you have to, because it's so easy for someone to have something concealed in their pockets. There have been cops that have gone into someone's pockets and gotten stabbed by a needle because they're a user. No, but they have this notion that, and they're getting the color folk in this country, Democrats are, to get them to think that they're victims and they're enslaved. Most black people in today's society have nothing to complain about compared to their ancestors. I would say 95% of all black people in this country have not gone somewhere except for maybe in the deep, deep south, like a Mississippi or something, have not gone into a store where people are like, what you doing in here? That have been refused service. I highly doubt a black person is going to go into a store in New York and there's going to be someone that says, get out of here. You know, that there is racism in this country, but nothing like what our ancestors went through. Nothing like what their ancestors went through. And you have a right to stand up. I mean, you have a right. It's like this virus. You have a right to believe it or you don't. I mean, when 85% or like 80% of the people have to get tested to know they have the virus, that says something. It really does, because wow. That's one thing I always add, because like Paul Pogba of Manchester United got tested positive for COVID-19 and he's been taken off the French squad. And I'm like, okay. Like, when you mean test positive for COVID-19, I told someone, I said, what does that mean? And this person looked at me like, well, what are you talking about? What does that mean? Tested positive for COVID-19. I'm like, well, I guess you don't get it. 80% of the people that have the virus have no sign, no symptom, no nothing. But the media makes it out like if there's a positive test for COVID-19, that person is 110%. That means that if people think that when you talk about a person on the test positive for COVID-19, the average person just, it's sort of like Subway. When they say baked fresh daily, the bread, it's a misnomer, because a lot of people think, oh, there's someone in there in the back taking flour and water and yeast and making the dough from scratch and rolling it out and baking it after they proof it, of course. No, it's a frozen dough that they put out on these croissant-type pans. They put it in a proofer. When it's done, they bake it. They don't make the dough in-house. It's a frozen dough that they bake every day. So technically, they're correct by saying it's baked fresh every day, but it's not. They're not like making the dough from fresh like a lot of people thought, because they want to give you the illusion that you're making the dough every day fresh and you're baking it fresh. That's what the implied baking, like baked fresh daily, is implying. Most people don't realize that most places that say baked fresh bread daily, that it's more likely a frozen dough that they proof and bake. It's not like fresh homemade bread where they take flour, they take water and yeast and let it bloom, and then they add the flour and salt and make a dough. You know, it's a frozen commercial made dough that they have proof and bake. But And that's what a lot of people have this misnomer. They think that, okay, a positive COVID-19 test means that the person's in the hospital with a 102 fever, he's coughing uncontrollably on a ventilator. That's what they try to get you to associate with COVID-19, so when you hear someone's positive for it, that's what you're assuming. There's another ventilator, when a lot of people out there probably had COVID-19 and never knew it because they were never tested. And that's, and so, you know, and that's a big, and it's leading into my next point of, when in America were we guilty by the media until proven innocent? When were we guilty? These cops are, like I've said before, these cops, unless it's 110% justified what they did, there's tons of people watching them. Why would they just randomly shoot for no reason? No, we're guilty until proven innocent. These people aren't waiting for the facts to find out what happened. They're just, oh, it's a black guy that killed by a cop, so we got a riot. I mean, at the DNC, in his acceptance speech, Joe Biden didn't condemn the riots. Now he's acting like he's condemning them, and like, you know, it's wrong, and da-da-da. Dude, the Democrats don't condone nothing. They had a headline on their telly. If you put on the telly on CNN, they had a headline that said, fiery but mostly peaceful protests. Kenosha, Wisconsin looks like Libya. And you're going to tell me that that's fiery but mostly peaceful? Are you kidding me? Well, you know, the Vietnam War was pretty peaceful. I mean, there was a little gunfire, but Vietnam was mainly peaceful, you know. Not, you know, I mean, granted, there were some deaths, but it was mostly peaceful. Yeah. Explain, yeah, try to convince my dad and my father-in-law of that. Yeah. Kenosha, Wisconsin. Fiery, but a little, but more peaceful. Just a little fiery, but mostly peaceful. Yeah. Okay. And if a frog had wings, it wouldn't bump its ass every time it hopped. You can't make this stuff up. That would be 24-hour a day, 7-day-a-week news coverage for 2 weeks if that was Fox News that posted that. It's a war zone. But then Democrats don't call a spade a spade. If there's a domestic terrorist in America, Dems won't call it out. See, they hate Trump because Trump calls a spade a spade. He'll call it like he sees it. I was saying last night to my wife, I'm like, well, I think Trump should stay in office indefinitely, and put it like this. Yes, I'm doing an executive order that I will stay in the office of President of the United States indefinitely until you have Congress and Senate pass a 4-year term limit. They get two-year terms. As a senator or a congressman, you can serve for 4 years total, two-year terms. If Congress and Senate don't have to have term limits, why should the president? We have term limits on the president so that you don't have one person totally dictatorially in charge over and over and over again. But you have Congress and Senate that have been there for 47 years, Joe Biden, and what have you done? I'll wait. I'm going to wait here until I figure out what he's done. Oh, I know what he's done. Nothing. That's what he's done. And one of my friends is like, yeah, Trump hasn't done anything. Like, what is Trump? Like, convince me of what Biden's done in 47 years of Congress, all weight and Senate. And I'm like, I got you on that one. He's done nothing. Pay up. But seriously, 3 days. And he's finally now. And I bet you he's going to try to act like he's, well, let me tell you something. You know, we've been for the last 4 months condemning all this violence. You know, when they had the riots in Missouri, you know, and they had their hands up and all this, we were condemning it, me and Obama back then. You know, he's going to try to pretend like he's been condemning this Black Lives Matter rioting from day one, even though they haven't condemned it until now. Because they prey on the people that they pray that these that the few liberals that watch this stuff don't know anything. And they believe everything that they're told. And that's just one of those things, right? No, you haven't condemned it. You don't care. And finally, yesterday, the governor of Wisconsin finally said, okay, folks, Trump will take your help now. Oh, I would have been calling for people. I'd have been like, day one, I'd have been like, okay, folks, this is where we're at. I need you here now. Okay, I want the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. I want like 20,000 of each here. I want like 5 military people for every 1 protester. I mean, they're saying all these people are being caught and arrested and stuff, but there's like a lot of people said, are they going to get prosecuted? Because like there's some place where, well, we're not going to prosecute them. So if you can arrest them all you want, but we're just going to let them go. But it's just one of those things. People don't care. They just follow. It's a mob rule attitude. They just follow the mob rule. And but that's the thing. People don't care. That's why back when they would go onto the beaches of California and. So what's Memorial Day? Well, you know, I mean, we got to memorialize the surfers, don't we? Yeah, I mean, we really do. I mean, because, you know, they mean a lot to this area, and that's why we have Memorial Day, to memorialize the surfers. These kids don't know anything. So what are you protesting? Yeah, we're against vetting. And then when they find out, basically, that, okay, if you have a party at your house and you're a college kid, you're going to be careful who you invite to the house. You want to make sure that people are not just going to trash your home and everyone's careful. Well, once they, you know, so you basically, yeah, so remember 9/11? Don't you want to make sure that people coming into this country are safe and they're not going to try to kill us and attack us and do all this stuff? Well, yeah, da da da. Well, that's called vetting. And once they realized, and they were against. But they were there protesting. They had no idea. I mean, I'm going to get in this photo right here. Because there is a Breitbart article that says, D.C. BLM protesters corner and intimidate restaurant patrons who refuse to raise a fist. I see not one black person in there, but they're Black Lives Matter protesters. I am, from what I can tell, and I am looking, let me do something here real quick. Unless very far in the background, maybe, but up close, I see 1, 2, 3. There might be one person kind of looks like it, but then when you see his arm, I don't really see anyone that stands out that's like a, like actually... There might be someone that is, but there might, looks like there's one person. There might be some that are, but they're not really that dark colored. But for the most part, I think, honestly, actually, now that I look at it, I think there might be one person in the whole photo. If you're a Black Lives Matter protester, shouldn't you be black? I would think if you want to say that Black Lives Matter, black people should be the one that's saying that. I mean, all lives should matter. I mean, Jesus Christ died for us all. He ended that debate 2,000 years ago. You know, I don't support the KKK, but I support white lives. I don't support the Black Lives Matter movement, but I support black lives. I don't support Native, I support Native Americans. I support everyone that lives here. Like the Democrats lost their crap when they had the naturalization ceremony. There's Trump taking, thank you for coming the right way, doing it the right way, instead of just border jumping. You know, all these Democrats want open borders where anyone can come or go no matter what, but then when a virus hits, they're like, we need to stay locked in your closet with the air deionizer and sterilizers and sanitize your showers 10 times a day. Well, you're the one that wanted a swinging door with a who knows who's in here, who knows what vaccines they have, what viruses they have, who knows. You know, so make up your mind. You can't have it both ways, folks. You know? It's like you're either tolerant Brett Mittler or you're going to call Melania Trump an illegal alien who can't speak English and you're making fun of her accent. She got hammered by that by a lot of people. Like, but it wouldn't matter because if Donald, I wonder what they would seriously have done if Donald J. Trump came out as a Democrat. And if Donald J. Trump did everything he's seen so far today, hasn't changed one thing that he said or done, but he was the Democrat president, not the Republican, what would they do? They'd be kissing his butt. Most of these Democrats kissed his butt all along, and now they're like, oh, let me see where we're at, folks. Got about just over 30 minutes left in the program, about 31 and a half minutes left. Thank you so much for tuning in, wherever you are listening around the world. But Brett Mittler, come on. I never really cared for her. The Wind Beneath My Wings, I liked that song, but that was about the only thing that I liked about her. I never really cared for her. Some of these, there are some people in Hollywood and musicians that I love, and I'm like, saddens me that they're like socialists. And then there's people like Bette Midler that besides The Wind Beneath My Wings, I really didn't care for at all. Couldn't stand her. Now I know why. I mean, at least like a Roseanne Barr has done what she's done in the past, and she's like, hey. And like that, like when they had the RNC and they had the pardon, and the guy goes and turned his life around. They had an interview one time. I love watching like jails, like behind the scenes, and where they go into the jails and stuff and like lock up and all this stuff. And this guy was getting out. And they go, how do you feel? And this was so telling. This, what do you mean, how do I feel? I get out in like 2 weeks. Aren't you excited? He goes, what do you mean excited? I have no job. When I get out of here, I'm going to have no job, no money, no income. Where am I living? How am I going to eat? The day I get released, okay, where am I going to stay for the night? I have no one to stay with. Nothing. No place to live, nowhere to stay. How can I be excited about getting out of prison when I have nothing? How am I going to eat? I have no money to buy food. That's why most people relapse. Because, hey, I got to rob and steal because that's the only way I can make money because I don't got a job and I'm right out of prison. And it was a very, And there was a guy that, because of him, started a place that, okay, when you get out of jail, this is where you can go, and it's a house to help get you on your feet and give you a place to sleep and food and stuff until you can get back on your feet fully and have income and have a place of your own and stuff. And that's what we need more of. We need people to care. We need prison reform. You're not going to reform. Every single person that gets out is not just going to instantly be cured. You know, you have to want to get better. If you try to go and get help, for drug addiction because your mama says you got an alcohol problem and you're doing it for her, you got to do it for yourself. But, like, you know, Roseanne Barr's changed. You got Bette Midler. Lord help, I can never stand her. And I couldn't see. I mean, they're going off on Trump left and right, and people in his, you know, because we're truly calling out Biden's cognitive issues. He has major problems. There's something going on. And it's sad. Then you got Hillary Clinton. Hire Hillary. Yeah, she's come out. Joe Biden should not concede the election under any circumstances. Yeah, Hillary, we'll take advice from you, okay? You didn't win the election, and when you cried to Bill Clinton and the Democratic Party, they got recounts in Michigan, and you lost by an even bigger number. Every place you demanded recounts, you actually lost by a bigger number. So sit down and shut up. And unless you want to just, because Trump would stay in office, since this is not a presidential, from what I'm understanding, this is not a switch over year. It's not like Trump is leaving the White House after his eighth year, and it's between this Republican and this. Trump would stay in office as they figured out who won the election. It's not like, okay, well they're going to put like the Speaker of House as president until. No, Trump would stay as president until they figured out what happens, who wins. And it wouldn't, I mean, because I see, even if Trump was, the, if Republic, if California was to go Republican, this is what I see this firsthand. I see them, well, Trump doesn't want you to vote by mail. He wants you to vote in person. But Trump is rigging the election by mail. Trump needs to come out and say, they say I'm trying to rig the election by mail. I don't want you to vote by mail. He don't want you to vote by mail. I mean, and I understand if you want to vote absentee, if you're old and frail and you haven't left your house. But if you've been to Walmart or Big Lots or Target or Meijer or Atlanta and Pacific or Jewel, or the come and go, or any place. How can you not vote in person? Heck, I've been at Walmart with a guy that forgot a mask, and he was seeing that they had one. They were and he was blocking the entrance, and there was like 40 people with not even a foot apart, 6 inches to a foot apart at max. Oh, but we can't vote in person. Why are you pushing voting? Why are you pushing the vote by mail, Democrats, if you're trying to tell me that Trump is rigging that so that he wins that way? If Trump's going to rig the U.S. Postal Service so he can win the election that way, why don't you... They're trying to make up all these excuses so that they can blame everything on, well, it was Russia, it was China, it was the people that voted by mail. Oh, you can't. Oh, it's not. You can't. You can't. That you can't do this. You can't. But voting by mail, you can't look. They've had dogs that are dead that have gotten a registration thing to be able to vote by mail. Cats. Dead people. It's like when we showed people in 2016 where they were throwing away Trump ballots. Yeah, don't be too obvious, but if you see a bunch of people you know voted for Trump, just kind of throw them in the trash. They're just trying to come up with anything they can so that when they lose, because they know they're going to lose, how they can try to blame it on that America. See, my wife can't think for herself because she's a woman and I have to tell her how to vote. A black person can't think for himself. He has to vote for Biden. And if he doesn't vote for Biden, then he ain't black. And so that when Biden loses, like he's going to, they can start shoot Trump for the election. Trump had Russia. He hacked. It was, you know, we're start rioting now. They want to start massive chaos. Because they're already doing it now. The same people that were, if Trump gets in, he's going to destroy America, are the same people that are destroying America. They're trying to come up with everything they can think of to tell these idiotical 20-somethings so that when Biden loses, like he will, they can blame it on a rigged mail system, Russia hacking the computers, everything. They know Biden ain't going to win. They know Biden is so far gone that he probably won't even make it to November. His eyes were so fixated on that teleprompter, he had no idea. If he had to actually cognitively think about a question given to him, and I bet you $100 if they do a debate, they're going to try to get moderators where they give Joe Biden the questions ahead of time so he can have a pre...
Did you listen to that whole thing Nancy said? Did you hear what Pelosi said today?
Mm-mm. Not yet. What? Go ahead.
She said how she didn't think there should be any debate. Trump's not legitimate, so she was Joe Biden. And if Joe Biden asked her, she wouldn't recommend it. She wouldn't debate it.
Well, I know that, like, a bunch of Democrats have said that in the past just because they know.
She said that today at the
news conference. Yeah. Well, Trump has demanded more.
What she said, I will say this, give her credit. I don't mind her idea. What she said, what she thinks is that they should be, like, you can do them separately, you know, like Trump and Biden. And you have, like, 3 or 4 people in there. And they ask them questions, you know, like we are.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, ask them both, listen to the platforms, listen to what they'll do. And these are almost her exact words. Listen to what they think on positions, and then let them then do it. And which I never liked the debates anyway, because they either sit there and argue with each other.
Yeah.
Or, to me, they're a waste of time. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Biden either won, unless he had the answers given to him, it wouldn't work.
Yeah. Either way, yeah. But, I mean, like, I remember, like, me and Melissa, the only way we can watch, like, Obama State of the Union address is through Glenn Beck. Okay, stop it. Pause. Let's fact check.
Fact check.
You know.
Okay.
And that's how, I mean.
Mine and Dad's favorite shows was MST 3000.
Mystery Science Theater?
Yes, MST. You remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Those were hilarious.
That's why I got to get my wife to see the Kentucky Fried movie.
Okay.
That old, it's like an old 80s film that's like a bunch of spoofs. And they do like one spoof on Bruce Lee movies.
I want you to watch The Gods Must Be Crazy. Oh, just mention that movie to Lisa. Oh my God, if
that's hilarious.
Make her blow her
when
out.
That glass bottle comes down, and then they.
And they think it's a God who did it, and is angry or something.
And then they throw it. It's the devil. But yeah, you watch that Kentucky Fried movie, it's hilarious because like this, they're doing a newscast, and during the newscast, as they're doing it, this couple that's watching the newscast on TV are sitting on the couch and they start making out, and then the newscast, you can tell them just like intently watching the couple making out on the couch. It's funny. It's hilarious. It's really old. But you know, I mean, it's like they know Biden cannot handle a debate. He's not cognitive thinking enough. He's at the point now where you give him a speech. Hello, I am Joe Biden. I am, even in some of his ads, folks, I want you to take a moment and click on this button and add your name and show your support for my campaign. And it scares me because it really infuriates me because I feel like he is like reading something intently, like he's not thinking for himself. It's not like, hey, folks, how you doing? My name's Kyle Wilcott, and I want to thank you for joining me in the conversation. Every time I do it, it's a little bit different. It's not the same. But I feel like he's like, this is what we want you to say. It's pre-written. Don't deviate it. You know, okay? You know, if we have to, just try to get him to, we won't, well, because I wouldn't doubt it if they have a way to where they can just have him speak and they edit the audio and then they just dub over him saying whatever they want him to say. I'm sure they have that technology. But you have Rachel Maddow coming out. Lord help her. Pardon it, the RNC. Like the emperor deciding who lives. Kind of creepy to fixate on pardon power. Are you kidding me? Pardon power? Okay, Rachel Maddow. That's going to be our new slogan on the conversation. Pardon power! Hey, folks. A guy that's turned his life around, that's helping people in and out of prison turn their life around so that they don't repeat offend. And you're talking Biden power? Wow. He's doing something good. Well, they can't say that, hey, look at what this black guy, he's not a victim. He turned his life around. And since he did that, you know, I just wonder what they're going to say about the guy in the wheelchair that's running for Congress and all this stuff and these blind people. I just wonder because they can't be any. It sickens me that something that is this. I'd love to meet that man. Like Terrence Williams, he's on my bucket list to meet because to go from the foster house to the White House. I remember one guy said it best. He goes, Barack Obama, half black, half white man that became president of the United States who was born in Kenya, Africa. How are black people oppressed if he can be born in Kenya and go out to become the leader of the free world? But it's Trump's pardon power. I'm Rachel Maddow, and we got pardon power because it just infuriates me. Can you? It just makes me effing sick to think that, you know, that he's like an emperor deciding who lives. Kind of creepy if you ask me, fixating on pardon power. Kind of sounds like a Cuomo. I got 400 ventilators. I'm going right over there right now, and I'm going to have to decide who lives and who dies. You want that job? That's like I said a million times, like, yeah. Yeah, sure. I just wanted to go there. Yeah, I'm going to have a whole film crew. We're going to be live. I want to see these 20-some thousand people that need ventilators that you got 400 for. Pick me. Lord. Lordy, lordy, lordy. And you wonder why the walk away movement is like bombarding, like, okay, But I want to get into this, folks. This is pretty cool. Let me find this. Not many people realize, but you have over 150 compounds in cannabinoids and cannabis, you know, because everyone's like, well, yeah, there's CBD and there's THC, but there's 150 cannabinoids in these, in this cannabis that does so much. And people don't look at that. People don't think about that. And, you know, there's like different poison is a great example of cannabinoid rich cannabis that is great for the daytime to keep you up and keep you going and keep you motivated. You know, it's not just THC. I mean, that's the thing. When you look at cannabis, what's the first thing you think of? THC, Tommy Chong, Cheech Martin. You think of the movie Friday, Bob Marley, Snoop Dogg. You don't think of Irvin Rosenfeld. You don't think of any of the federal medical marijuana patients. Robert Randall, Elvie Mashika. You don't think of those. That's who I think of. And the terpenes and all these different things that make cannabis so amazing. And I think now that they study cannabis, and I think there's a lot of stuff they know about cannabis unknowingly. Like, they know that, hey, this does this, and this does that, and this does this. And I think they're going to find out as they study it more that this is what's causing this. This is what's causing that. So it's one of those things that, oh, you just want to get high. No, there's 150 other compounds in CBD and THC. And it's, you know, and it's just a nice... It's nice to see it starting to become somewhat mainstream that people are like, let me see here. Yeah, it might actually be something good. So, it's a good thing. Cannabis can be a great thing, you know. I mean, and now there are people that are fighting for, we want clinical trials with magic mushrooms and with acid because it's showing major promise. So we'll have to wait and see. But it's just nice to see what happens with that moving forward. And, you know, and it's nice to see people waking up and saying, hey, it's not the only thing in there. Getting high is not the only reason to use it. So but it's nice, you know. Sort of like in Tennessee in Wisconsin when they're finally getting, okay, yeah, we want Trump's help. It's nice to have finally people that were like, hey, no good, no good, no good. Now it's like, hey. It's like even Urban Rosenfeld from the beginning was like, hey, I deal with crap all my life. I don't need... Why am I going to take the devil's lettuce, basically? And now he's like, it's worked forever. So, I want to move on to some Premier League news. And it's going to be, I mean, I don't know what to make of all this stuff. Because you look at Manchester United, and the club's basically come out. It's not going to be business as usual. I think they're going to try to use COVID-19 to act like they can't spend money when every other club is going and doing and spending like it's Christmas. Every other club is doing deals like it's 4th of July. And here we are, just signing players that are already members of the club. I hope, I mean, they know Jadon Sancho, this is what they demand. Sorry, folks, but this is what Jadon Sancho is going to cost. They've known that from day one. Borussia Dortmund are not going to budge, so get over yourself. Either you want him, either you get him or you don't. I kind of jokingly say, like, there's a lot of people that are in agreement with me that I don't think we'll get anybody. The Glazers need to go. I mean, and this is the thing. You notice how Alex Ferguson on his final speech at Old Trafford in 13 basically said, it's time for you to back your new manager. He didn't say the owners or anybody. Because you remember, Alex Ferguson was squeezing everything he could out of them because they weren't spending hardly any money on him in the last 5 years that he was there. And I feel like they're trying to milk the name and try to get, and it's like, okay, you lose interest in the club when every time you turn around, okay, everyone else is doing massive business and here we are, they're trying to blame the COVID-19 on the reason why they're not going to do any business or spend any money. If Arsenal can spend money, why can't we? That's all I'm going to say. Arsenal can spend money, why can't we? I just think, I see, and I feel like, okay, Alex Ferguson squeezed every little last drop out of all the players he had, and he knew he'd have to try to get, he'd have to get new players in there. He'd have to start from scratch and get a whole new group of players in there. And when things came up, he just decided to step away. Because I kind of feel like Alex Ferguson would be in the same situation the club is in now. He would be, okay, here we go, I'm getting one. That's why I think Ollie needs to sit there and force the hand, okay? Well, I'm getting rid of these six players. It's up to you to replace them. Hey, I'm getting rid of the deadwood. I'm doing my part. They're not going to get anyone in. And that's on them, not me. And I feel that. I think I'd love to see Ollie come out and say, hey, I'm going to do the best I can with the players I'm given, but if they're not going to spend in the transfer window, how am I expected to improve? You know, take Alex Ferguson, or take any manager you want to, take Zinedine Zidane and put him at Newcastle United. If you don't give him some money to get some real good players, he's only going to go so far with the players he has and the quality he's allowed to get with the money he's allowed to spend. If 20 million is a very high-end price, you know, anybody over 20 million, we're not going to be able to afford them. If you want to get like three players, you're going to have to spend like 5 million on this player, 10 million on that, and 5 million on that. You know, we don't have millions. He's probably going to turn Newcastle United around some, but he's only going to be able to go so far with the players he's got. Always only going to be able to go so far with the players he's got and the things he's got. And if he doesn't, that's not him. You can't blame Ollie when that, and I think that's what a lot of the managers were coming out saying. I think Jose Mourinho kind of basically hinted, hey, this is how it is, folks. This is the best I can do. I wanted these players, and I couldn't get nobody. And that's huge. That's big. So, it's going to be interesting to see moving forward where we go, you know. And I think it's going to take some people to wake up. And I think it is. I think it's going to take a lot of people waking up and saying, hey, enough's enough, it's enough. So it's going to be interesting to see moving forward what happens with this and where we go and what we do. It's going to be very interesting to see because it's a big issue because I see fans getting frustrated like me, like, okay, what if we don't do any signings? Like, how can you, if we don't get one signing in, how can you blame anything on Ollie? He's doing the best he can with what he's given. I mean, we're two injuries away from, okay, we don't have enough depth to do anything. And that's the big thing. Would you get Jadon Sancho in here, or would you get three players that are very decent? I mean, he's probably the best player out there. Would you take Jadon Sancho, would you take three very good players, or three very decent players? Would you get one player, or would you get some depth in the squad? And I would almost want depth in the squad. I mean, because you ain't going to get both. At this point, Donny Van de Beek I want player, but I think there's some players he needs to get out of the squad, and he needs to start forcing the move, saying, hey, I love to sit there and say, it'd be interesting to say, yeah, I'm stepping down as manager. I want to see someone try to run this club when the owners will not back you. I mean, they just want to line their pockets. Sorry. I want to be in debt and winning Champions Leagues every year. It's just sad when we're one of the richest clubs and they won't spend a dime. But I want to thank you so much for tuning into the conversation. I hope you feel a part of. Remember, folks, with a firm alliance and the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Until this coming Tuesday, good night all, and God bless you. Goodbye.